Once upon a time, a boy met a wizard. And he said to this wizard, "How did you get to be a wizard?" And the wizard, he thought a little while about this. And he said, "Well, let me see now. It all started when I was a young boy. You see, I was the most forgetful boy there ever was. I'd play for hours in the woods, and I'd always lose something. You see, I became so distracted with what I was doing, I just sort of lost track of all kinds of things, the sort of practical things you're supposed to take care of. Why, one time, I left my shoes in the wood. Yes, my own shoes, I left them in the wood. And when I came home, my mum said, 'Where are your shoes?' I stared down at my feet. I didn't even have socks on, and I certainly didn't have shoes. 'I said, I probably lost them in the wood.' Well, my mum was very, very cross when she heard that, and she grabbed me by the arm and she walked me back into the wood. She said, 'We're going to find those shoes. If it's the last thing we do, we're going to find those shoes. You can't just lose those shoes.' Those were a nice brown pair of shoes she just bought me, you see. She was very cross. 'You can't just lose a pair of shoes like that and expect another one.' Well, I didn't know what to expect. But there we were, out in the woods, and she was insisting that I look for my shoes. Well, how ridiculous. I had no idea where I'd left them. I really didn't. I didn't even remember taking them off. I must have just kicked them off and then carried on playing. But she was determined that we were going to find them. And so we searched and we searched and we searched and we searched, or rather, my mum searched, and I just stared up at the clouds and around at the flowers. And whenever she saw me, she'd bark at me and say, 'You've got to search properly.' Well, that seemed really boring to me. But then I thought, wait a sec. What if I do, like, the best ever searching that's ever been done? What if I make my eyes like magnifying glasses or like laser beams so that I can see my shoes wherever they are in the forest? Well, this seemed a bit more interesting, so I started doing this, really staring straight ahead and trying to see my shoes with all my might. I thought I was staring so hard that even if just a little tip of my shoes was visible in some undergrowth or under a bush, I'd still be able to see them. Well, there I was doing this, and that's when something really magical started to happen. Really amazing. Because as I was staring like this, staring straight ahead, out of the corner of my eye, I swore I could see my little brown shoes. Like they were hanging from a tree. And then just, I realized on the other side, I could see another little pair of brown shoes just like mine, also hanging from a tree. I thought, well, what's going on? It can't be two pairs of shoes. But there were. In fact, there were many. The harder I stared, the more pairs of shoes I saw out of the corner of my eye. Was amazing. And after just observing this out of the corner of my eye, I decided to take a look. I spun my head around to the right, and you know, the funny thing was, there really wasn't anything there. There was just shadows falling on the trunks of the trees in such a way that made it look, I guess, out of the corner of my eye, that there were shoes there. Or maybe it was that I was searching so hard for the shoes, so desperate to see them, that I could see them even when it wasn't clear that that's what they were. the shadows on the left-hand side, where they were just shadows on the trunks of the trees and looking a tiny bit like little brown shoes, but not very much. Well, this carried on all the time we were searching. Mum couldn't say I wasn't searching properly now because I was staring straight ahead and I was trying out my new trick. And it was amazing. There were little brown shoes hanging from all the trees. Or at least that's what it looked like out of the corner of my eyes. Well, in the end, we just didn't find anything. And Mum said we'd had to go home now, which I was very pleased about, and that I shouldn't lose anything again, and I should be more observant of what I was doing. Yes, I said, yes, Mum, I will. And as we were making our way back home, round the back way this time, what did we see but there, a bench. And under the bench, my little brown shoes. My mum, she just stared at me. She said, well, why didn't you tell me that you took them off here? I said, I don't remember taking them off there. But I probably did. I'm so forgetful, you know. Oh, groaned Mum. Well, come on, let's go home then. Well, after that, she did remind me every day I went out to the woods not to leave anything there. And it did very well for a few weeks. But one day, I left behind something really, really not to be lost. And that was my brother's favourite jacket. My brother's favourite blue jacket. You see, I couldn't find mine. And so, as I was in the porch, about to leave with my shoes on already, mine wasn't on the coat hook. He won't notice. He's at school. You see, I was too young to go to school by then, at that point. So I grabbed his coat instead. I thought, I'll be back by the time he is. And he'll never notice. So off I went into the woods. And I played, and I played, and I played, and I played. And at some point, I must have forgotten about his silly old coat. Because by the time I got home, and it was actually quite a bit later than he was, he'd already come home himself. There was my mum, and there was my brother, on the doorstep, with their hands on their hips, which is something people do when they're really cross. "Where's my coat?" said my brother. "Where's his coat?" said my mum. I stared around. I looked at my shoulders. Obviously, it wasn't there. I don't know. I must have left it somewhere in the woods. Well, they were both cross now. And back out into the woods, they marched me, insisting that we have to find the coat before we can go home. Well, that wasn't very easy. My mum was searching everywhere. My brother was kicking the leaves and crying. And I was just gazing around and looking up at the clouds. "Come on," said Mum, turning round and seeing me just wandering around aimlessly. "You've got to really look." Oh, yeah, I thought. Really look. I remember that. Then I remembered that trick I'd done a few weeks ago when we were looking for my shoes. I'm going to look like that. I'm going to stare straight ahead. I'm going to make my eyes like a laser beam. I'm going to see any tiny little bit of his blue coat. I'll see it because I'm looking so hard. But I knew also that when I did this, some kind of magic would happen out of the corner of my eye. And so it was. Just like last time. I'd be staring straight ahead, looking for my brother's coat, and staring so hard that before long, I swear, I could see his coat hanging from all the trees. Well, lots of coats, you see. They were everywhere, or at least everywhere at the edges of what I could see. Yes. I was walking through a forest filled with blue coat trees. Yes, blue coat trees. Of course, none of them were really there. It was just I thought I could see them. And when I span around, why, it was just shadows on the trunks of the trees and that sort of thing. Well, after a while, even Mum was exhausted. Even Mum was exhausted, and she said, well, we'll just have to go home, and I don't know what we're going to do now. And as we went home via the back route, why, what do you know? We passed by a field, and there, on a fence post, there was my brother's blue coat. He screamed, "My coat!" and ran and grabbed it like it was a long-lost brother, whereas my mum just stared at me like I was the most forgetful brother ever. She said, "Why didn't you tell us you left it there?" I said, "I don't remember leaving it there, but I probably did. I'm so forgetful. I'm sorry." Well, Mum was cross. I was in the doghouse. And my brother was happy to have his coat back. But after that, I never forgot that corner of the eye thing. I decided to make it my friend. And so I did. I soon found ways of turning it to my advantage. You see, when I started going to school, I immediately fell in love with my teacher. She was the loveliest person I'd ever met, and I'd do anything to please her. But one time, we were all in the class, me and all my friends and all my classmates, and the teacher said something special. She said, "Today I'm going to set you a question that I don't think any of you are going to be able to answer, but I'm going to write it up here on the board." And as she did that, she turned around and she said, "See, I'm pretty sure none of you know the answer to this, do you?" Well, I thought, maybe I can be the one to answer it. And I thought, and I thought, and I really wanted to find the answer, but I didn't know it. That question was impossible. What was she even thinking, writing it up on the board like that? I stared around at my friends, I stared around at my classmates, and everyone was just like, shrugging their shoulders and screwing up their faces and staring at the board like they achieved something that way. But no, nobody had the answer. Right then, I thought, maybe if I really try, if I stare at that blackboard really hard, the answer will come to me out of the corner of my eye. So that's just what I did. I stared and I stared. What do you know? It worked. There, out of the corner of my eye, I could see the answer. My hand shot up. I said, "Is it?" And then I told her what I'd seen. Well, she was amazed, and she was very impressed. And I was so happy I'd got the right answer. All that day, I was floating as if on a cloud. And from that day forth, I did very well at school. Not in the usual kind of way of studying really hard and getting all the answers that way, but rather, whenever I needed the answer, it would come to me out of the corner of my eye. Well, I did very well at school, like I said. And when I left school, why? The best thing about my life was I found a girlfriend. And oh, was she lovely, and oh, did I love her, and oh, was I happy to be with her, except for the times when she'd be sad. And she would sometimes be sad. And there was one time when she was so very sad that it really broke my heart, because I'd tried everything I could think of. I'd tried bringing her nice things and telling her nice things, and still it didn't make her happy. And I so wanted to help her, I did. I so wanted to help her because I loved her so much. And when she was sad, why, I'd get sad too. And there was one time, this one time, when she was so unhappy like that, that I just looked at her and I felt I'd give anything to know the answer that I could say that would make her feel better. I'd give anything to know what it is that's troubling her. But although I guessed and I guessed, she said, "Oh, no, it's not that. And no, it's not that. And oh, I think nobody understands me." And that's when I remembered my corner of the eye thing. I did. I thought, maybe if I really just stare at her, maybe the answer will come. So that's what I did. I just stared at her. And in that moment, why, I realised how much I loved her. How much I'd do anything for her. But all the while, I was watching the corner of my eye, you see. And right there, in the corner of my eye, oh, I saw what it was that was bothering her. No wonder I couldn't have seen that before. Goodness me. And I said, "Is it this that's troubling you?" And she looked rather surprised. And she looked at me and she said, "Yes, that's it." And I asked her a few more questions and I gave her a bit more listening. And she talked and she talked and she talked. And then she cried. And then she threw her arms around me and it was all better. Well, I found after this that any time I didn't know what was troubling her, well, I could just find it in the corner of my eye. I could just ask her some kind questions and before long it would all be good again. Ah, this corner of the eye thing, why, it became my favourite way of looking at the world. All kinds of magic, you see. All kinds of magic can be found when we look out of the corner of our eye. Because the very best bits of life, they're often not where we're looking. They're just at the edges of what we can see. The magic in life, it often happens at the edges of what we think we know. So I became an expert in looking at that place, or rather, looking straight ahead, but always having my attention on the corner of my eye at what I didn't yet know, at what I couldn't quite see, but would reveal itself to me if I really knew how to look. "And that's how I became a magician," said the magician, who'd been telling this story all the time to the boy, you might remember. "That's how I became a magician. And that's where all my best spells, they came from." And then he said to the boy, "Tell me, what is it that you'd most like? What is it you'd most like to have? Or what is it you'd most like to give? Or what is it you'd most like to change in the world? And I could ask you, my dear listener, what is it you'd most like to have? What is it you'd most like to give? What is it you'd most like to change in the world?" And let me tell you this. Instead of going looking for it in all the things that you think you know, instead of going looking for the answers for how you're going to get or give or change this thing, by looking straight ahead, rather look for it at the edges of what you can see, of what you don't yet know. Look for it out of the corner of your eye. And that's the end of my story. I got that out of the corner of my eye too. I did. That's where it came from. at the edges of what I know. Yes, that's the truth. And this is really the end.